According to a report on the teacher shortage on the Economic Policy Institute, there is a growing teacher shortage issue in the nation's K-12 schools. Could you explain more about this phenomenon and, like, in your opinion, what's, like, the reason or potential reason behind this?
Sure. I think one of the biggest reasons behind this is that we haven't had enough people going into teaching. And there is a significant teacher shortage throughout the nation, and it's quite severe in California. And what has happened is in well over a decade or so, we've seen about a 75% drop in the number of people going into teaching. So what we're left with is a deficit. We just, in 2017, 2018 in California, we just had about 16,000 new teachers earn their teaching credentials, but there were about 24,000 job openings.
So what is, like, what reason, like, behind this teacher shortage in general?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. One, I can speak more clearly about California. I know the context here better. So in California, back in the early 2000s, we had smaller class sizes and a need for a lot more teachers. So there were the news was out, we need a lot of teachers. Then with the recession, we started to increase class sizes again and lay off teachers. So then the message going out there was that there are no jobs for teachers. We don't need very many teachers. And then there has been a lot of media about how difficult it is to be a teacher, and teachers get blamed for things that are often not things they have control over. And I think there are a number of reasons people just haven't been going into the profession. And then there are people who leave the profession. It's not as bad in California as it is in other states, but in some states, about 50% of the people who enter teaching leave within the first 5 years. In California, we have a retention rate of well over 80% in that same period of time, but it is a factor as well.
So, also according to the report on teacher shortage, there are fewer teachers that really meet the credential requirement, as you mentioned, of being teachers, or even lack of the educational background for which they teach in the schools. Is this phenomenon partly because of the crisis of teacher shortage? So, could you explain more about this?
I'm glad you brought that up. That's an important question. Because what happens in a time of shortage is we need to get people into classrooms quickly. We can't have classrooms of students with no teachers in them. And so, unfortunately, the go-to has been to put underprepared people in classrooms simply so that we have an adult in a classroom. And in times of shortage, it means we do that more often. In California, we have gone a long way to try to ensure that the people who are in those classrooms at least have some preparation before they go in there. It's not a lot, because it's an emergency, but they need to have at least 120 hours of some sort of instruction, and there's very specific things we want them to know, particularly in how to support students who are multilingual or English as a second language. But there isn't a lot of time. But during the year, there are a couple of ways they can go. Schools can hire new people who are in what's called intern programs, and intern programs mean that they are the teacher of record right away, so they are the teacher. But they do get some extra mentoring support. Maybe once a week, somebody will come and visit their classroom and talk with them and help them or observe them teaching. They also need to be taking classes while they're teaching in order to eventually earn their credential. There are other short-term staffing permits when things are really acute. In other words, you're getting down to the first day of school and you can't find anybody to be in a classroom, you can issue somebody a short-term staffing permit. Now, everybody needs to show that they do know some basic skills before going in, but the fact of the matter is they have not finished a program that prepares them to teach. And so we call them underprepared teachers. And we have seen a significant rise in the number of underprepared teachers going into schools in the last 3 or 4 years. Throughout the nation, as you were reading, as well as in California. And one of the biggest problems with that is that students aren't receiving the education they need in that beginning year. And what's worse is that underprepared teachers are 3 times more likely to go to schools serving high minority children and 2 times more likely to be in schools serving children who are living in poverty. These are the schools and the children who need the best prepared teachers.
So the report finally shows that the teacher shortage is more serious in high poverty school. Mm-hmm. And also, as you mentioned, that there are some schools that really need, in high need of those teachers, but the teacher's shortage issue is actually more serious in those areas. Mm-hmm. So could you explain more about it? Like, what is the reason behind it, in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of factors. One of the most serious and saddened factors is that teachers in different school districts get paid different salaries simply by virtue of the fact that some school districts have more money than others. Now, it's better now than that has been in California for a very long time, because we have a new funding formula that came into effect under Governor Brown's administration that's evening out, you know, funding a bit more, making it more equal across schools. But nonetheless, there are schools, because of the way they're funded, that have a lot more money. So teachers don't make a lot of money. So if, you know, sometimes it has to be a personal choice if they're offered a job in a place where they can make more money. Typically, schools in high poverty and high minority areas are not able to offer the teacher salaries. The other thing is that oftentimes teachers are teaching in really challenging conditions, and the schools don't have the resources for the kinds of supports that the children need. So I don't know if you have seen the teacher strikes that have been going on in Los Angeles and Oakland. Some of it had to do with salary, but a very big part of it had to do with demanding that their children received services that they need from school counselors, which, you know, really got cut during the recession, and school psychologists and nurses and other, you know, support systems so that they could do their job better as teachers. So, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons it's difficult for. We don't see as many teachers in schools serving high minority populations of students and schools where you have serving students in high poverty communities, a lack of resources.
Okay. So is getting a teacher credentials really, really difficult for people to do? Is there like, so people are not really just finishing the programs, but actually there are like, the demands are high, so they just directly go to the job position? Is that so?
Well, that's a good question. In California, most of our teacher education programs are post-baccalaureate programs. So after you finish your bachelor's degree, you enter usually a 1 year, you know, anywhere from, you know, 12 to 15 month program. Most of these programs can be completed in 1 year. You enter in the summer, you finish in the summer, and then you can start as a fully credentialed teacher in the fall. And this is what I tell everyone I talk to who is interested in becoming a teacher. Take that year, learn how to teach well, learn how to do what you want to do, because then you can do what you want to do. You can enjoy what you want to do. Teaching becomes a joy, and you won't leave. Underprepared teachers leave the teaching profession far quicker and far more often than those who are well prepared. So there is the option to take the 1 year, the post-baccalaureate program, but then to, in order, you know, to help with the future, you know, or long-term effects of the shortage, you know, our state and a number of states have started to try to incentivize different kinds of programs. So we used to not have very many undergraduate programs in education, and that's a whole different story about the education major in the 70s was banned from being used in California for teacher credentialing. Now we're seeing the need to have undergraduate integrated programs so people can get into the field faster but be fully prepared when they get there. There's also other programs that are offering what's called residency programs between school districts and colleges and universities, where we're placing teacher candidates, you know, with a mentor teacher who supervises them throughout the year, but the person preparing to be a teacher gets a stipend for that, so it doesn't become as expensive. So there are a number of things that are happening right now to entice people in. We're hoping that we will see what's called a loan forgiveness program coming back. So if you promise to, if you prepare to teach and you go into teaching for a period of time, particularly in high need schools and in high needs areas like science and math and special education, your loan is, whatever loans you have each year are forgiven a certain amount. And those can really help teachers, you know, people who want to become teachers do it. In addition to that, we, before you even go into what we call full-time student teaching, and ideally before you even go into a credential program, you need to show that you have the subject matter, the content, which is what your bachelor's work is all about. Now, in a multiple subject program, you can gain those skills and content area from a number of different classes, usually your general education classes. Now, you can also take an exam that shows that you know those things. So there's two ways to show the state that you know your content. One, you take an exam, or two, a special subject matter program pathway that some universities have. Now, if you're teaching at the secondary level, then you get credentialed in one content area, as you were talking about. If you want to be an English teacher, you get credentialed in English. If you want to be science, you get credentialed in science, and then there are a number of different sciences, right? Well, and it's the same process. You need to show you know your content through a test or a subject matter. And then when you enter the credential program, what happens is you're more focused on how to teach that content and how students learn that content or understand that content. You get to know the content deeper when you're looking at how students understand it and when you're trying to organize it for teaching. But that's our focus. So it's not like we're teaching you basic calculus in when you're earning your math credential. We expect you to already know that.
Okay. So, in your opinion, what consequence would this teacher shortage issue in general result in?
One of the biggest problems is that if children are being taught by teachers who are underprepared, and particularly year after year, we see a significant decline in their ability to reach the, you know, success levels that, you know, academic achievement levels that we expect. And each year they fall further and further behind. Whereas if they had a highly prepared teacher, we see growth each year in teachers. And then what happens then is we see a much larger gap between, children who don't receive the best teachers they deserve and children who do. And that's a terrible problem for us to have. It's a terrible thing to do to children. All children deserve the best teachers. All children deserve an opportunity in school. All children deserve to love learning and have an opportunity to succeed. So a teacher shortage increases inequities in schools. And that is going to affect us for a very long time. So we're really working hard as a state, legislators. People are paying attention now to how we turn this around.
Okay. So in your opinion, what should be relevant government agencies or schools themselves do to this serious crisis of the teacher shortage? Or is there any like other aspects you think it can be mentioned? Like, you're in the education program, you're like the president of the California Communications of Teachers.
Yeah, the chair of the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing. Yeah. So you're asking what can people do or what are legislators doing? A lot now, thankfully. So the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing is the state agency that oversees all policies relating to how we prepare teachers in California. It is where teachers go to apply to get their teaching credential after they have finished their programs. The commission also accredits all teacher ed programs in California to make sure, you know, that everybody's meeting a standard of preparation for new teachers. So we monitor what is happening there. And we also try to implement policy that is going to help this. Now, the legislature is doing the same. The State Board of Education is doing the same. And the California Department of Ed is doing the same. Now, everybody is working more in unison now, together, listening to one another, trying to figure out the problem together. Because no single agency for this issue, no single person, no single agency can say, we'll institute this policy in the commission, we'll institute this policy in the Department of Ed. So what we are seeing are some very large grant programs that have been budgeted to help school districts and universities collaborate on different programs. I mentioned residency programs where candidates are paid a salary to become a teacher, you know, or a stipend. There are other programs that are geared towards recruiting and preparing special education teachers where students are paid a stipend, you know, to help with all of that. There are programs, you know, grant programs that have been given out to help universities develop undergraduate integrated programs. And then there are, you know, coming up, you know, loan forgiveness programs. There's a new ballot on the, there's a new legislative bill that is going through the process that is saying that underprepared teachers cannot be placed in high minority, high poverty schools. So this will be an interesting one. This will be one of the first times that we're seeing what we just talked about as a big problem being addressed directly. So anyway, there's a lot more money that's going into this shortage. There's a big recruitment center that has been funded to, you know, recruit, you know, people to teaching and recruit career changers as well. So there's a lot of things going on now. And it's taking interagency collaboration to do it.
Mm-hmm. So what should the schools themselves can do to help assist this legislation bills or kind of all the things all the agencies are working on?
Mm-hmm. And do you mean like K-12 schools or universities? Yes, I think that by continuing to inform legislators about what it is like there in the school, when what happens when they can't find a teacher, how the kids feel, you know, what's happening in classes, you know, classes are suddenly getting very large because they're having to be combined because you can only find one teacher instead of two. So ensure, you know, keeping legislators informed is really important. And stories, you know, stories really help, you know, when teachers and principals and students can tell stories of what it's like when they don't have enough teachers in a school, or when they have underprepared teachers in a school. That really helps.
Mm-hmm. So, is there anything you want to add?
I guess I would only, close by saying, for a long time, teaching has not been seen, I think, by young people as a desirable profession. We see too many things in the news media about teachers being blamed. We see teachers not being paid well. We see teachers who lose their jobs because, way back in the day when we had more teachers than jobs. And there are a lot of other opportunities for young people now to do different things. And I think the other really big thing that the teaching profession still needs to figure out is how we have interesting career ladders for people going into education. Because, 30 years ago, teachers going into teaching might stay 30 years in a classroom. And that's not going to happen anymore. Finally, I would say, there really are exciting opportunities because in addition to simply getting really well-qualified teachers into classrooms, we need teachers in classrooms who are going to give children the skills and opportunities and different kinds of learning experiences they need in the 21st century. And there's a lot of exciting things happening there and a lot of opportunities for creativity now on the part of teachers than we've had for a long time. So it's an exciting field, honestly, and it is certainly one of the most joyous and rewarding things you could ever do. So that's what I hope to leave with that message, and I hope we see more people coming in. And we are. We are seeing an uptick in people entering teaching again, so that's good.